Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence that's already in our midst. As we go into the Word, we ask that that presence and anointing increase. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's upon my heart and my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who also will hear me remotely, electronically. So your word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine. In particular, to cause our wills, Father God, to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, and I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said. Today we're going to continue our Bible study in the book of Proverbs. And in our last lesson, we began to see the call of wisdom. God, it says, does not wisdom cry into top of the high places, which is today, he said it symbolically back in those days. And in those days, they had high places too. You know, they had hills and things like that. But today we'll look at outer space or the satellites, you know, that are beaming down all the signals onto the earth, television, internet. You know, the word of God, the wisdom of God is everywhere. You can only miss it if you don't want it. If you truly are seeking it. I remember at the beginning of my Christian life, thank God again for E.W. Kenyon. Let's give E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. I read his book. Well, I read many of his books. But I remember this book, and he said, wisdom is the principal thing. And he said, look at the primary place God has given wisdom. And he said, you should seek wisdom. He wrote another little book, which was called Signpost on the Road to Success. A great book, you know, and he emphasized the importance of wisdom. And he said, you know, you should read the book of Proverbs every day. And so I started doing it by the grace and the mercy of God. And I can tell you in these 40-something years, it's true. You know, wisdom is crying out. She cries in at the gate of the entry of the city. And he's calling not just to Christians, to everybody, unto all men. Now, you have a choice. You can seek and embrace wisdom, or you can neglect it. You know, and he begins to tell us in verse 5, we stopped, I think, in verse 6 in our last lesson. He says, O ye simple. God doesn't want us to be simple. He wants us to have understanding. He wants us to have in-depth knowledge, you know, so that we can be all he wants us to be. As I was just saying that, I just remembered this parable, the parable of the 10 virgins, which symbolize the church in the end time, you know, and you have two types of Christians. You had those who were wise and those who were foolish. They were all Christians. All of them were virgins. And the difference between them was that the wise had extra oil in their vessels, whereas the foolish, they had light. They were born again, but they did not have the extra oil. And the difference was because the wise were seeking wisdom on a daily basis. So they were going to the Word of God. They were praying what I call the Pauline prayers. You know, Paul prayed that prayer for the Ephesian church, and God had it recorded for generations of the church to come. He said, I do not cease. So it's not a prayer you pray once and you stop. It's a daily, you pray until the rapture day, until the day Jesus comes, that God will give you more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Him. Then you will not be simple. Many Christians are very simple. The word simple there is a nice word for foolish. You know, but really that's what it means, you know. And especially about spiritual things, you won't be simple. You will understand the complexities of the plan of redemption and its operation. Again, quoting E.W. Kenyon, you know, I've never heard any other person say it. From that time when I heard him read it in his book till today, you know, but the grace of God which is with me, I have said it, you know, echoing him and then expanding on it. There are two sides to redemption, the legal side and the vital side. That's wisdom, you know. And so many Christians foolishly just think that, oh, once you know the legal side and you just say it, it will have come to pass. No. There is a legal side. For instance, by his stripes you were healed. That's a fact. It's a legal fact because Jesus paid the price for your sickness. But getting healed is a completely different ballgame. There are things you have to do. There are spiritual laws you have to operate. The law of confession, the law of prayer, forgiveness, you know, and all these things. So it's not as simple as just saying, hey, the Bible says by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, so I'm healed. And you see it every day, you know, I see it, YouTube, because I search YouTube for interesting things as the Lord directs me, and I learn a lot, you know. And even on social media, I don't read all of it because I don't have the time, but sometimes my eye will just flash it. You know, if somebody just send a prophetic word out for you today, you know, he'll just take some scripture, you know, and then just apply it to him and to you and say, you know, today God has said, you know, for example, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So you just say, you know, you say, today I prophesy to you that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper in Jesus' name. I know the heart is right that they want to say the word of God, and it's not wrong to actually say that. But there is a lot behind that for it to become a reality. It's not just rhetoric and just mouthing it, you know, because you got to read everything that is before that, you know. When he said that greater the wisdom to destroy and all of that, then you have to go to Psalm 91 and if you set my love upon you. So the simple will just take the promise and not look at the conditions and what needs to be done to fulfill those conditions for the promise to come to pass. And like it says also in this book of Proverbs, we read it, you know, in our first chapter when we started. He said, the simplicity of fools will destroy them. And my God, is it destroying so many Christians? The one translation says the prosperity, which is true. It says the ease complacency of the simple. Hey, you can't afford to be simple. You need the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is not just something that will just come. You have to seek it. We're going to see that, you know, as we read on. In fact, we've seen it already in chapter 3, chapter 4. So if you seek it like silver, like precious gold, do you know what people do when they're looking for gold? It's a lot of work. You go, you drill, you know, you hit the stone, you know, you won't get in this place, then you will try this one, then you will, finally you will get it. But you don't get it just, you know. So it's with wisdom. You've got to pray, you know, keep your heart right, honest, meekness, lowliness, pray in the understanding, read the Bible, pray in the Spirit. Say then. Simplicity is a crime. Unto you, O men, are you simple? Understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. And this is not, he's not talking to sinners, he's talking to us. You can be born again and be simple. You can be born again and a fool. Like the two guys at the road to Emmaus. Jesus, I said it last week. Jesus said to them, "Say, oh ye fools and slow of heart to believe." He said, "Ought not Christ to have died?" And then he said, beginning at Moses. Even though these people were following Jesus for the past 3 years. As many of us, I'm saying this to provoke our thinking, not to condemn us. Many of us are like this. Simple, you know, we don't take the things of the Spirit seriously, you know, and we don't dig deep into the scriptures. We don't dig deep into prayer, you know, and then we just expect all the blessings just to fall on us like ripe cherries, because some of our leaders have told us that that's how it is, and it is not. They've actually lied to us. And so many Christians, you know, are perishing because of these lack of these things. Verse 6. Hear. I didn't hear you. He said hear. He said hear. Uh-huh. Hear. I want to hear hear from everywhere. Hear. Uh-huh. For I will speak of excellent things. Wisdom is talking. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination. I didn't hear you, folks. I expect you to be saying the word of God after me. It's something that does to your heart. I've said this so many times. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward. Today we will say wayward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For he's not telling you the benefits of wisdom. This is supposed to motivate you to seek it. Make it the top priority. Pay the price, you know, the sacrifice of the time and the self-denial that it's going to take to get it. Just like when you go and dig for gold, you know, like I gave this illustration just now, you know, in a mountain or in the ground, or like oil. You go and see, if you go to any oil rig, you know, you have to go sometimes into the ocean. You know, they'll fly a helicopter there. They will create a rig. Then they will drill down. It's not, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Spiritually, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, he now begins to tell you the attributes, the attributes and the blessings of wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions, innovation, creativity. It's the wisdom. This is the wisdom. That's what the wisdom of God gives you. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. He says it again. He said it a few verses earlier on. You know, the froward mouth do I hate. These are the things that will either hinder or enhance your getting the wisdom of God attitude. If you have the attitude of the fear of God, and you hate evil and pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and a perverse mouth, you get the wisdom of God. If you don't, if you indulge in pride and arrogancy and just running your mouth off, you know, just saying what you like, you're blocking the road, you're blocking the way to the wisdom of God. That's why he interjects that there. Here he's been talking about, you know, knowledge of witty inventions, prudence. Then all of a sudden he says the fear of the Lord. Because it is the key to wisdom. And that's the reason why so many Christians are not getting the wisdom of God. Many have a wrong attitude. They're proud. They're arrogant. They hate reproof. They hate any type of instruction or correction. Especially instruction. You know, instruction is a funny thing. It's not funny. You know, I just say that, you know, jokingly. You know, because it demands you to agree to be like a child. Say, don't talk to me like I'm not a child. Don't tell me what to do. Have you heard that before? Ah, why are you telling me that? I'm not a child. I know that already. Once you have that kind of attitude, then the Bible says, except you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You know, make more room for Jesus. Instruction. 1, 2, 3. I don't want all of that. You know, don't put me into bondage. You know, I will seek God the way God leads me. It doesn't work like that. There's instruction. There are steps. I think it's in Psalm 130, somewhere in there, you know, where it says that the steps of the righteous are ordered. There's order. I order my steps in thy word, you know. I discovered, you know, initially I was unconsciously led. I didn't know. I must be honest. But then after some time, it became clear to me that I was doing something and I didn't know. I didn't really fully understand what I was doing, but it was the right thing, you know. And that's what I've been teaching all these 40-something years, you know. It begins firstly with attitude, which is love, you know, and all of that. I didn't know, but I just did it because I was taught, you know. Then I did, you know, the Pauline prayers. Then I prayed in tongues, and I read my Bible every. Nobody told me that it was in steps and it was in order, but they were just the different instructions I got from different people, I primarily from Kenneth Hagin, you know, and others, you know. And I just happened, you know, unconsciously led by the Holy Spirit to do those things. I will never forget one of the pastors in my church, one of the elders in this church I was going to in London. He came to me, you know, he said, Brother Luby, he's a West Indian. You know, he's probably dead now, because that time I was 20-something. He must have been in his 50s then. That's 40 years ago. So he'd probably be, if he's still alive, he'll be in his 90s now. You know, and he said, Brother Luby, he said, I've been in this church for 40 years. He said, I have never seen anybody grow as fast as you. And I knew it wasn't because I was special or God just favored me. I was doing something that had an order. And I didn't fully understand at that time, but all those ingredients were there. Looking back now, that was how God led me. You know, Pastor Porter did something very strange. I'm black. I was one of the youngest in the church. I was 21. I got to the church when I was 20. I was 21 while I was still inside the church. You know, it was May 1980. I was 21. You know, so Pastor Porter was going to Italy. He used to go to Italy every summer on an evangelistic crusade where they would go to Italy, then people get born again, they'll baptize them in the beach, you know, and all of that. So he would leave the church for about a month, a few weeks. So he now called all of us. I wasn't an elder. I was nothing. I just used to help him and Mrs. Porter. I'll help them with their grandchildren. They had these two little grandchildren. You know, me and my other friend will help them. We'll go shopping for them. We'll take them out, you know, and things like that. So, you know, I had a relationship with him. So he now called them. He said, while I'm going to Italy, he said, Brother Olubi is going to do the preaching. I was shocked. Why me? Me? We had Americans, we had Chinese, Malaysia, all kinds of, it was an international church. There were all kinds of people. But he could see, because he was an elder spiritually also, and he could discern. There was something there. But it wasn't because I was special. Because by the grace and the mercy of God, the Holy Spirit unconsciously led me to follow instruction. And I did it. But the grace of God which was in me. And that was the result. And that was where, you know, my ministry began to build up and all of that. I'll never forget those 3 weeks, you know, I was preaching in church, and Pastor Potter, he allowed me, I did a prayer seminar. And all I was doing was just parroting what I heard from Ken Hagin. I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't saying anything new. But a lot of people in London, I'm talking about 1980, you know, started coming to our church, which was a small church. You know, they said, there's one guy, he's preaching. You know, people came from Kensington Temple. They were coming from other places, you know, in London, you know, just to come and, you know, we had to start putting chairs outside. Someone said, that's when you should have started your ministry. That killed me. You see, I said all of that to say this. There's just something about doing what you are told. That was what happened to me. Some guys came, they said, read your Bible every day. They were a group of people, they called the Navigators. They have this Bible reading guide. You know, they used to come to Imperial College and all the Christian unions. So I just took it. Then Ken Hagin said, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, he said he's do it for 30 days. I said, why 30 days? I do it every day. So I did. Okay? Then Ken Hagin said, pray Pauline prayer every day. Then Ken Hagin said, pray 1 hour in tongues every day. That's all I did, though. Just obey those simple instructions and look at the results. After 40 years, to the glory of God. That's it. I've discovered this thing is not difficult. It's only difficult to the stubborn, to the rebellious, to the arrogant. He said it here, you know, the froward mouth. Verse 14, counsel is mine. Talking about the wisdom of God. People are looking for counseling. You know, counseling is one of the things that wastes most time in the church. Even of pastors. Yes, I'm counseling people 3, 5 hours. And you know the reason? They don't want to go to the Word of God themselves and get the counsel. And even after you finish counseling, they'll still do what they want to do. Satan just uses them to run rings around you, drain you spiritually, emotionally, and at the end of the day, they still won't do what you tell them to do. Majority of my counsel, I've done this for 40-something years now, you know, church is going to be 40 years this year, you know, it's from the pulpit. And so many people over the years have testified. You say, Pastor, I come to church and the thing I was looking for, you said it. So instead of draining you and me, you know, you get it. The Word of God, all the counsel you want is here. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Who doesn't want this? Who won't pay a price to get this? Who would despise this? And there are people who despise it. Fools. Fools. I don't know what can be more attractive than this. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. So even the things you see in the earth, you know, the look. Let me. I want to use a particular example. This is not in my notes, but, it's just come to me. And it's the Holy Spirit. Look at the American Constitution. Who gave those men that wisdom? Who gave... It's almost 300 years. It'll be 300 years in 2076. But by that time, we'll be gone. Because 1776, So if you put 300, you get 2076. By that time, Jesus would have come by the grace of God. So I don't expect we should be here. But, it's still good. Those men, who put it in there? It's by me, kings reign. And princes decree justice. They say, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Not all men are created equal and have a right to liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. And it goes on and on. If you've never read it, Google it. And just, you don't have to study it like a law student, but you can just read and get the, the wisdom is too much. No such thing ever existed on the earth. All that was on the earth before the American Constitution were monarchies, where the kings had absolute power and they abused it. It was that absolute power of the King of England that caused the American Revolution and caused America to rebel against the king and get her independence. But they were wise enough to understand that it is human nature. They didn't call it the devil's nature, but that's what it is. It's sin nature. When you give power to a man who has a sin nature, he becomes a tyrant. And now in secular government and all of that, they say power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Why? The sin nature. This same American Constitution, I read some of these things many years ago, but I'll tell you, it says that you cannot trust any man with absolute power. So you bind him with the chains of the Constitution. Give the Lord a clap offering. Who taught George Washington? Thomas Jefferson? John Quincy Adams? Who taught them? God. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. In spite of all America's problems, it is still today the most powerful nation on the earth. Scientifically, militarily, in every way, in spite of all their faults and all of those things, that's going on. Why? You have to understand where it came from. It didn't drop from heaven. It came from God. God was the one who inspired those men. They got together. Initially, I'll tell you a little bit about the history. Initially, they were all afraid. England was the most powerful nation in the world. You don't rebel against the King of England. He will decimate you and finish you. They didn't have an army. They didn't have weapons. The English Navy, the English army was the strongest in the world at that time. Rule Britannia. George Washington and all these men, they were afraid of the king. They didn't want to. So, what they did? They appealed to him. True story. They appealed to the king. He was taxing them all different kinds of tax. It's called the Boston Tea Party. Because some of these rebellions are in a place called Boston. That's where MIT and Harvard are. And Dara went there, so I went there. It's one of the things I'm a history person. So when I got there, I got this thing takes you around the town, a tour, and tell you this is where this happened. So anyway, they said, look, let's appeal to the king. Don't let's rebel. I'm telling you. They didn't want to rebel, though. They said, let's appeal to the king. Let's say, and beg him. So they sent letters to England and emissaries. Emissaries come from the king. The king said, no, you're all rebellious. They had a meeting in a church in Virginia. It's called St. John's Church. This is 1775, before the Revolution. And in that meeting, the people like George Washington and others were all there. People like George Washington were voices of moderation. Ah, we can't rebel against the king. Oh, this thing is going to cost us. Then one man got up. I've forgotten his name now. Something Henry. He said, "You people know nothing at all." He said, "This man is going to keep us in bondage for the rest of our lives. There is nothing we're going to," I'm paraphrasing, you know, "there is nothing we're going to say and give to him that will satisfy him." He said, "Give me liberty or give me death. Either even if he's going to kill us, give me liberty or give me death." And that was the rallying cry from that meeting in the Senate. They all sat down together and said, "Well, if we're going to have our own government, we are not going to make the same mistake of the king in England. So we're not going to have another king. We have to have a system of government where there are checks and balances." So at the sin nature, they didn't use that word, but I'm using it. You know, the weaknesses of the human nature will not take advantage. That is why they now, God gave them the wisdom, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. And all of them are equal parts of government. So one is a check on the other. It is only in the United States of America that President Nixon, I don't know, some of you are not alive then, so you don't even know who he was. But we were alive. Amen. This Pastor Gwega and I, and so, you know, with my teenage years, I can never forget the Watergate scandal. Oh, a whole president, they forced him to resign. Why? Because of the way the Constitution is written. Not even the president is above the law. And he would have gone to jail. He didn't want to resign. So, even members of the Republican Party, because he was a Republican, they went to him. They said, "If you don't resign, we will make a move in Congress. We will impeach you. And you will be removed and you will go to jail." To avoid that embarrassment, Nixon resigned voluntarily. Then his vice president, Gerald Ford, now became president, you know, and then pardoned him. Years later, I was just listening to it a few days ago, because I listen to these good documentaries. Don't listen to everything. I don't listen to rubbish. You know, it's the truth. You know, Nixon was apologizing. He said, he resigned. Then this was years later. You know, they still honored him. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Come on. It's God who? It's only God who taught them. It's God who taught them. They didn't ridicule him. He still lived a good life. You know, they made him, you know. Ford was very nice. You know, he still had his secret service detail. And when he died, they still didn't give him a presidential something. He was later, many years later, he said that, you know, "I disappointed myself and the people. And I took undue advantage." There's something about executive power. That is why the Constitution was written. And it's one of the best examples I can use of the scripture. "By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice." You give a man too much power, he will abuse it. Because of the devil's nature in him. He doesn't realize the devil's nature. You know? I want to say one other word about this just before I go on, you know, about George Washington. You know, George Washington, he was one of those voices of moderation, and he really didn't want to, you know. But when it became clear that they had to fight for their freedom, you know, it was farmers, young boys. They didn't have an army. It was a ragtag army. They didn't have shoes.
they were marching with barefoot in the snow, you know. And some of the rich men in America, you know, were able to try and get money together, you know, get money together, you know. And through a series of staggering miracles, divine intervention, they defeated the British. And they, you know, and Joe, he was the general, you know, they called him General Washington, George Washington, you know. So people really liked him and everything. He became the first president. So they were now saying, ah, he should continue. He said, ah, no. He said, we have promised that we will not have another king. And you want to make me kings, I'm not going to. He refused. He refused. Integrity. A clap offering for George Washington. He's in heaven. You know how he died? I heard this story. You know, this many, many years ago, about 5-10 years ago, when Joshua Luby was in Fork Union, you know, which is in Virginia, you know, which is very close to Washington, you know, I think mommy and I, I took him, I said, look, this is education. We have to go to the house of George Washington. And we went. We saw all the houses, exactly as, you know, they preserve all of these things. They had the slave quarters. Even in death, there's a cemetery for the blacks and there's one for the whites. They preserved everything. You know, how they used to, you know, preserve their food and everything. You know, but even his bedroom, everything was preserved. And, they, you know, have a guided tour that will be telling you all the different things. It's a great, great education. It's a good thing to you know. You know how he died? You know, they didn't have all, like, you know, medical science like we have today. I think he knew he was going to die. He lay on his bed, put his hands like this. Father, receive me into your bosom. Bingo. And checked. A clap offering. Like somebody said, if you want to go, go that way. That's a good way to go. Why? Because God, some men allowed God to give them wisdom. By me, I didn't hear you. Kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule. I just got a text. All Nigerian politicians should be listening to me. This is a solution to Nigerian problem. America is not great just because it's America. America became great because it was founded on the principles of the Bible. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. The Nigerian judiciary needs to hear this. The basis of all civil law today, the statute books of majority, if not all, the countries of the world today is based on the Bible. And I'll tell you how it happened. God allowed England to conquer the whole world, rule Britannia. India was under the British. China was under the British. The British Empire, on which the sun never set. So, what happened was that the law, the statute books, were all taken from English law, which was based on the Bible. I'll take it a step further. Slave trade was lucrative. Very lucrative. It was called the Golden Triangle. You take the slaves from West Africa, okay? You take them across the ocean to America. You sell the slaves. You disembark the boat. Then you put tobacco and all kinds of produce from the Americas back into the ship. Then you go up to Europe. You sell it. Then you go back to Africa. picked the slaves again, and then it was called the Golden Triangle because they were making money from it. But there were some people. Oh, let's give the Lord a clap offering. God is good, though. And you know, it may look as if he's slow, but you know, he knows what he's doing. By me, princes rule. Men of conscience on both sides of the Atlantic who read this Bible every day. Some of them were slave owners, quite all right. George Washington was a slave owner. This is what George Washington I've been talking about. But they said he always treated his slaves very well. With honor and dignity. He never flogged his slaves. He said it's against the Bible. You know, they some of them knew that our slavery was wrong, but at the time there was so much pressure, they couldn't change it. So those who had power treated their slaves right, and many times they would free their slaves. So people on outside of the Atlantic, some of them say, this thing we're doing, even though we're making money from it, it's not good. Their conscience began to prick them. As we read the Bible, all men are created equal. God has made of one blood. Where this slave trade is not good. So they started looking for how they were going to change it. They couldn't change it, firstly, from America. America came later. But England, let's give England a super clap offering. I think it was William Wilberforce. For years, it didn't work. He was in Congress. He would move. People wouldn't listen to him because they were making money. But with time and the mercy and the grace of God, he got enough people speaking, and then through the revivals of people like Charles Wesley, you know, people began to get to know the Bible and get to know the Word of God. By me, princes rule. And you know what happened? They got a majority in the English Parliament, and they banned slavery. And any British, and British had the strongest navy in the world, if they come across a slave ship, they will force them to stop, or they will bombard them and they will free the slaves. That's where Sierra Leone came from. That is how Ajayi Crowther was freed. By me, princes rule. And even all the nobles of the earth. And then with time, it spread over to America. It caused the American Civil War. That's what caused the American Civil War. The people in the North said, slavery is wrong. We can't continue. People in the South said, what are you talking about? All these silly Yankee boys up North. All the Yankees. You want to take my slaves from me? But you know, they changed. And the South was defeated soundly. Humiliated. And today, I just remembered something, Pastor G, to make you laugh. There's a blind man, Ray Charles, Negro. He became a good singer. They banned him because of racism and segregation, you know, from coming to sing in Georgia, which is where he came from. It's a true story. True story. But years later, just recently, when I say recently, maybe about 10, 15, 20 years ago, the Georgia legislature came to apologize. Then they took his song. It is his song today that is the, like, the anthem, national, you know, national anthem of Georgia. I got Georgia on my mind. True story. It may look as if God is slow, but we will get there. And I want you to encourage you about Nigeria. We will get there. We will get there. So long as there are some of us who, by the grace and the mercy of God, will keep praying and speaking this word, we will get there. If I said, take the grace down, we went home, we're good for today. I'm telling you. By me, princes rule. Hallelujah. Nobles and all the judges of the earth. This is what Nigeria needs. And I got news for you, and she's going to get it. Correction, she's getting it. We're seeing it. You know, when people complain about Nigeria, I say, I know that things are not yet as good as they are. I said, but you want to go back to Abacha? Hey, Tinubu, this, Tinubunomics, this, da, da, da. You want to go back to Abacha? Look at where we're coming from. Abacha, Obasanjo, you know, Yaradua briefly, Jonathan, you know, Buhari, and here we are. Is he not better? We are not there yet, but we are certainly not where we used to be. Oh, come on, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. The Yoruba say, "Endoba monuru amopeda." You know, today you can say what you like. How many people remember? Ha! They will throw you in jail and throw away the key. But that's not so anymore. Amen. Nigeria is even getting to the place now. You know, I was reading it. You know, I saw the headlines of the papers. I don't read papers on Sunday morning because I'm praying and reading my Bible. You know, but you know, they brought it to my office. I just opened. I just, you know, they said that there was a move. Recently, something happened, and I think the Senate president said the government gives something to the governors. The governor says not so. And he quickly came back and repented and recanted and said, oh, he apologized. They said, I saw in the papers today, they said that there was already a move that if he doesn't apologize, they were going to impeach him. That's what happens when you have rule of law. A clap offering for the Lord. And they're not all of our governors are good, but there are some good ones. They're not in for the money. They're there to try and change this system. And they're changing it. Integrity. Righteousness. By me, princes rule. They should go and play this message in the Senate. And the House of Assembly. And put the fear of God into them. And it's God who is ruling in the affairs of men. Not, it's no longer man. God has taken over. You misbehave, you know, he will. God has a way. Ask Nebuchadnezzar. He has a way. That's why the knowledge of the Bible, as far as I am concerned, Olubi Johnson, should be compulsory reading for anybody who is aspiring for any government position. If you don't know the Bible, go away. You're going to become a tyrant. We want people, he said, he that ruleth over men must rule in the fear of God. Give me that scripture. It's somewhere in Samuel, 2 Samuel, you know, 1 Chronicles, you know, it was David who said it. Quickly. We cut there and then cut back to this and see how far God takes us. How many people are blessed this morning? You and I have been blessed. I tell you something, you know, this Bible, that's how you know it's God who wrote it. How could those men in America? Yes, thank you. 2 Samuel chapter 23. The God of Israel said, who said? The maker of heaven and earth. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel. Oh, give him a clap offering. Oh, I love God. Hallelujah. Speak to me. He that ruleth over men must. It's not optional. Be just. Ruling in the fear of God. that reality is coming to Nigeria. If you don't rule in the fear of God, and you don't just leave, God will remove you. One way or the other. And only put people there who will rule in the fear of God. Because by me, princes rule. And nobles and all the judges of the entire judiciary will be sanitized. We're taking bribe and undermining the destiny of millions, misappropriating funds, round tripping, and all kinds of evil. So that people don't even have a livelihood. But it's changing. Don't let's be pessimistic. It is changing. It hasn't changed, but it is changing. And it's going to get better and better and better. I just got another text. Because you see, darkness can never overcome light. If there is a great spiritual truth. You know, if it was night now, and this place was completely dark, and you just brought out your mobile phone, and you put on the torch, immediately in that environment, the light will move the darkness out. Have you ever seen a place where it is so dark, it pushes out the light? It doesn't happen. The initiative is never with darkness. It's with light. The only way darkness can prevail is for you to reduce or remove the light. So long as we're preaching this word, oh, give the Lord a clap offering. So long as we are praying, the light that is emanating will keep pushing the darkness back and pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back until the entire nation is flooded with light. Sit down if you can't. Ah, glory to God. Verse 17. Let's see where we'll go with this. I love them that love me. Wisdom is talking. If you don't love wisdom, he won't love you. What that means, putting it in a nicer way, you know, is that if you don't desire wisdom, you won't get it. You know, sadly, and Pastor Andrew, incredibly, to me it is incredible. There are some people who don't love wisdom. They don't have no desire for wisdom. You know, sadly and incredibly, many people, all they just want is that joke, you know, that guy told me years ago. God born again, God bless, God help us on. It's true. They don't want all this, you know. Jesus said to him, he said, you didn't come to me, you know, because you saw the miracles. In other words, you didn't come to me to find out how did I do that miracle. You came to me because you ate bread and you were filled. They don't love wisdom. They didn't want Peter, James, John, and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew were different. They weren't following Jesus because he could pay their tax through the fish mouth of a fish. They were following him because they wanted to know about him. You know what they asked him? Where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. Why are you following him? Following him because of what you can get. Then you don't love wisdom. And then it will not yield to you. Remember, wisdom hates evil, pride, arrogancy, the wayward mouth. You want to get wisdom? Get those things out of your life. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You're not going to get this thing if you don't get up early in the morning. I didn't write it. I know you don't like it, but I didn't write it. I wish the word early was... I don't wish. I like it there. You know, but a lot of people wish that early was not there. He didn't say those that don't seek me. He said those that don't seek me early. In other words, seeking the wisdom of God should be your number one priority every day. When you get up in the morning, the first thing is God. Seek me early. Another word in Hebrew, it says diligently. Diligently. That's why people, so many people don't get the wisdom of God. And these same people, when they get up morning, FaceTime, Instagram, you know, you see them texting and all of that. You're not going to get the wisdom like that. They prioritize that over the word of God. Again, say amen, say, oh me. Verse 18, God help me. Riches and honor are with me. I remember want riches and honor. And don't be sillily humble and say you don't want it. No, that's even dishonest. There's nobody who doesn't want riches and honor. Observe, it's not riches alone, it's also honor. You can have riches and not have honor. A lot of our discredited politicians, you know, have, and even their riches is very limited, you know, but they have no honor. No honesty, no nothing. Yea, durable riches. It means that there's some riches that are not durable. They don't last. They disappear overnight. And righteousness. Riches that come with right doing. That's the one that lasts. That's the one that God gives. Stand to your feet. I got to stop. If I'm about to, you know, don't worry. We'll be here. Church continues anyway. So, you know, we can't preach everything in one Sunday. Are you listening to me? Durable riches. Durable. And righteousness. Not this, lesekese. You heard of lesekese? In Yoruba, it means immediately. Sharp, sharp. They're a bunch of rogues. I say it without any apology. Anybody, say, we're going to read later in the book of Proverbs. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody deceive you. Anything quick riches is not in righteousness. And it will not last. And if you're not careful, it will wind you up in hellfire. Ask the rich fool. They're the fool. And indeed he was a fool. He had great abundance. He said, and he was not lying. God has blessed me. And it was God who blessed him. But you see, people forget. I will say, what shall I do? I will build bigger barns and I will fill them. Then I will say unto my soul, as if he owns his soul, take thy ease and drink. And be merry. The scripture says, incidentally, it was Jesus who was talking. And I think he ought to know. And it was not a parable. It was an actual story. It was not figurative. It's literal. Thou fool. Your life is demanded for you this night. Who then will enjoy all the riches? The Bible says, and the rich man died and was buried. I like the Bible. Very, very full stop. The next sentence is in hell. This is where religious tradition comes. Oh, you know, riches will send you to hell. You know, you should not love. The Bible didn't say riches are wrong. It just says you have to do it with righteousness. I close with this. May God have mercy on me. I want to push these people and tell them the truth. God said, well, that's your job. However much they may not like it. One of the reasons why God takes time, and I can testify, because like I said, I've been a Christian now for 44 years, and we've been pastoring now, be 40 years this year, or 45, No, it would be 40 years of scripture pasture. But I became Christian in 79, which would be 45 years to the glory of God. I used to ask, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm sowing, I'm giving. I don't have money. Now, of course, I always had money. I've always had enough food and raiment and whatever I needed, God was, but I'm not having. I didn't have, Pastor G knows now, all the people have been with me. We didn't have really money. We had money, but not really money. Saying it jokingly. I said, what's wrong with me? God, are you? Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Said, there's nothing wrong with you, son. You're doing the right thing. He said, I do give riches. He said, but I take my time. Because you can only retain riches if you are strong spiritually. And you will only be able to handle them properly to the degree your soul has prospered. That is why my word says, let patience have her perfect work. That you will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You see, when you get there, you will see riches at a different level. Said, if I give you too much riches now, the residual signature, we corrupt it. And said, look at some of your brethren. I can testify all these 40 years. People have become corrupted. Too much money too quickly. Let's say the way the Bible says it, you will not be innocent. He that maketh haste to be rich shall not, it's a law, be innocent. You will cut corners somewhere. You will do something wrong. You will rob some people. You will do 419. You may not call it 419. It can be spiritual 419. Yes. Yes. There's spiritual 419. Where you trick the people to get money from. You deceive them. You get the money quite all right. But the end thereof shall not be blessed. Talk to God. If I continue like this, I'm so glad. Lord, thank you for helping, leading me to teach this book of Proverbs. See this Proverbs? By the time we finish, I don't know, it might take me another year. I don't care. By the time we finish, you will be wise. All that nonsense that they have put in your head, you'll be brainwashed. Because the brain is dirty right now. So we need the washing of the water of the word to clean out the brain. Oh, talk to me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Amen. Talk to God. We need the wisdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We need the wisdom of God.
let it be
that I would praise you. Ever
let it be
that I would please you.
Oh,
never let it be
that I would turn away. Ever let it be. Sing it.
Ever let it be. Ever let it be.
That I
will love
you.
Never let you be.
Never let you be.
Any gods above you.
Never let it be.
Ever let it be.
That I would sing your praise.
Always and forever keep me walking in your way.
Never, never let me go.
Never let me go.
Raise your other hand to God.
The most important thing in your life is the wisdom of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, we've done it before. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. It's most important. I thank God for E.W. Kenyon, through whom I learned that very early when I became a Christian. I began to seek. I started reading Proverbs every day. I'm sure I've said this before in church. A proverb a day will keep foolishness away. Read the Bible, but read Proverbs. Just a few verses, maybe 10, 15. It will put sense into your head. Raise that hand. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. Receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, I repent of any past simplicity and foolishness and hate of reproof and instruction. Father, thank you for showing me your word, the importance, the supremacy of wisdom. Lord, have mercy on me. Give me more daily of the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of my understanding to be more and more flooded with light. Give me spiritual understanding to know your word, to walk in love, to walk in your statutes, in your judgments, in your testimonies. Help me, Lord, not to be simple. Help me not to be foolish. In this end time, God, I cry, help me, so I will not be a foolish virgin, that I will have oil, not only in my lamp, but in my vessel, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, for your blood, your life, your power, in and upon our wills, our minds, our emotions, our physical bodies, our circumstances, our regional heavenlies, in this regard, insufficient measure, in Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, just stretch your hand. If you're here physically, if you're watching from home, stretch your hand. God wants you healed so that you can be strong and you can do His work. You can't do His work if you're sick. Father, we release the healing power that is in the Word of God. It has been released into the air, into the physical bodies of all those whose hands are stretched forth now in faith. Be thou made whole. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a lot of super clap off.